Hi, and welcome to the Option One podcast. I'm Sam Risley. I'm here with Beth.
Hi.
And Poppy.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about loads of things about the adult industry. We're going to talk about tweets. We're going to do questions from Option One fans. Just really loads of fun stuff. So should we just get going with this and stop talking on, really? And just, yeah, let's go. Cheers.
You're through to Option One.
Option One podcast.
Welcome to the Option One podcast, everyone. I'm here with the lovely Poppy May and Beth Bennett.
Hi.
For people that don't know who you are, let's start with Poppy. So Poppy, when did you start? Obviously, you do OnlyFans, Babe Station.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of social media stuff as well. So when did it all start for you? Or doing, like, would you call yourself an adult performer? Or
Yeah. I mean, can I say rude words on here?
Yeah, go for it.
I just class myself as a sex worker.
Sex worker.
Yeah.
Sex is okay.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So when did it start? How, like, how many years ago was it? Because I know when you started a Babe Station, but did you work somewhere else before that?
Yeah. So I was at Expanded and then at Studio 66.
Okay.
And then here we are.
So when did you start Expanded? Was that the first one?
Yeah, I think it was, well, I started stripping on my 18th birthday.
Oh, really?
I always knew I wanted to be a stripper.
Okay, well, how did that come about? Like, how did you go, I want to do stripping?
Well, I wanted money.
Like, and that's it?
Yeah, well, I used to be dental nursing and I was doing an apprenticeship.
Okay.
So I was on like £3.50 an hour and I got...
For dental nursing?
I hope they don't ever see this, but they treat me like shit.
What, your dental nurse got paid £3.50 an hour?
Yeah, because it was an apprenticeship.
Oh, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, so I got paid. My job description was a trainee dental nurse, but they would make me like clean the toilets. I did everything.
Shit.
I was making the coffee. Yeah. I was cleaning blood off everywhere. I was sucking out spit out people's mouths. And then I was going and cleaning the fucking staff toilets. So,
yeah.
Like, I was so done with it. But I did pole fitness at the time.
Oh, okay.
So I really enjoyed, like, pole dancing.
Yeah.
And the lady who ran it, like, she was a stripper.
Okay.
And she just really inspired me. And I just thought, you know what? My 18th birthday, because it was on a Friday when I was 18. And, I just thought, I'm going to give this a go. Like, well, I've got nothing to lose. I can pole dance.
That must have been scary. Like, was that scary doing
your
first time?
Yeah, I was shaking my first night. But I made, like, my whole monthly earnings in like, 4 hours. So I handed in my resignation, like, the next week.
Dental life is now gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. I then, like, did full-time stripping for about 2 months.
Okay.
And then Expanded messaged me and was like, you know, do you want to come and work for us? I didn't know what it was at the time.
Okay.
I'd never seen, like, you know, these channels before.
Okay.
I thought it was a lingerie photo shoot, to be honest.
Oh, okay. And then it was live TV.
Yeah. And, like, when I got there...
Well, that's good of them telling you that.
Yeah. I mean, they told me bits and bobs, but, like, I was just so naive back then. I didn't really know any of this existed.
Were you aware what Babe Station was?
Yeah, but I didn't know what Expanded or Studio 66 was.
Yeah.
And yeah, because they were like, oh, I'll bring loads of lingerie outfits with you. Because I expanded, you have to change your, I don't know what it's like now, but you have to change your outfit, like, every section. Like,
okay.
You get a little 15-minute breaks, maybe, I can't remember, like, 5 times maybe.
Okay.
So you have to change your outfit every time, like, that was just their rule.
Yeah.
So he was like, bring loads and loads of outfits with you. So I thought, okay, so this is a lingerie photo shoot.
Yeah.
And then I got there, and then one of the girls gave me, like, a headset. I got put on this bed. I was thinking, hell is this? And then, like, some man started speaking to me, and I'd never talked dirty in my life.
Oh, okay.
So
do they not tell you then how to do it? Do they not tell you at all?
No, I mean, one of the girls was like, you need to, like, move, shake your ass, but again, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, I'd stripped for 2 months, but stripping is quite different to what you do on TV.
Yeah.
It's more like...
Well, you don't really talk to the customers, do you, while you're stripping?
Well, I do.
Okay.
I normally just, like, go VIP, give them a little dance, get naked and sit there and just chat.
Okay.
Yeah. Quite nice. Really get a few drinks. Chat.
Was it night? Did you go straight onto nighttime or?
Yeah, I did nighttime. Then I did a few day shifts. But I just preferred nights, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it's more, I can't sit still for very long, and with days like you are just sitting there, and I get pins and needles. I'm like, I need to talk. I need to do something.
Yeah.
So, but with nights, like, especially at Expanded, I think because it's a lot cheaper, it was just like constant calls all the time.
Okay.
So it was just so full on.
Yeah.
And they also, like, you know, here, like, we can kind of chill out a little bit. Whereas,
if
we want,
it's a relaxed, like, atmosphere.
Yeah.
Professional, relaxed.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest change from coming here. Like, that's why I much prefer it here, because we can just,
Well, you do like web sections and stuff like that, yeah, and you do different stuff.
And it's like, you're not going to shout at me if I'm on a, you know, like say I've only got one person in the
queue. I don't shout
at
anyone, do I, Beth?
Well, we might get a bit stressed sometimes.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. And so now you work at Vogue Station, OnlyFans, and happier, obviously.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's just more chilled out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Beth, I actually don't know how you started.
How did I start?
How did you start and how did
it come about? Oh my gosh, it's so long. So I've looked.
That's all right, it's a podcast, we've got time. It's long form content.
Right. So I've worked at Vape Station, it'll be 11 years this year, but I'm from New Zealand originally.
That's weird, you have an Australian accent.
Yeah, I know. we're all the same. It's just all the same. The whole thing's a lie. I'm actually from Birmingham. So I lived in New Zealand. I went to uni in New Zealand and everything like that. And I finished university and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't have a life plan. And I thought I'll go travelling for a little bit and I'll decide and then I'll come back to New Zealand. I'll get like a serious, like a grown-up job.
Yeah.
So
you travel to the UK?
Yeah, because it's really easy to get a visa to come and be here, and like, you know, I don't speak another language, so I didn't want to go anywhere. Where else would you go?
That's true.
Like,
it's
the UK or Canada, really. So I decided to come here, and I thought I'll get like a. So I'd been a stripper as well, so I didn't have any real job experience per se, and I thought, oh, I should get some, even if it's like silly little jobs while I'm here, and then when I go back I'll have like a CV when I apply for like real jobs and everything like that. So I came to the UK, and before I came over I signed up with this company called London Pubs. It sounds like you'd get a job in a pub in London,
doesn't it?
Because it's called like London Pubs.
Yeah, like working behind the bar.
Yeah, exactly. So they say they're called London Pubs, and they sort of sell it as like most of the jobs are live-in jobs. So you're going to be living at the pub. So then you're going to turn up in the UK.
Ticks boxes.
Yeah, because you're not going to have to worry about finding accommodation. Mm-hmm. You're going to walk straight into a job, and you're going to be in London, so you're going to be able to like meet people, and it's very social. Blah blah blah. It's a lie.
Oh,
obviously. It's a giant fucking.
You don't
lie.
Work in pubs at all.
Well, no, you do. That bit is the only like little bit of truth there. So you pay this company to sort this out for you. And because of the nature of it, you don't find out where you're going until like a couple of days before you fly out, because obviously they're waiting for someone to leave a job and jobs need to be filled. And I did not have a great knowledge of geography of the UK before I came over. And so they're like, oh, cool, we found this pub for you. And this is like 3 days before I fly to the UK. We found this pub. It's in Tame. Tame is spelt the same as the Thames.
Okay.
So you would think that they'll be close, and the Thames runs through London.
I don't know where Tame is.
No, it's in Oxfordshire.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not in London.
No, at all.
So I get to my job in Tame. And not only is Tame in Oxfordshire, but Tame is like a very small village. It has two pubs.
Okay.
And it's got probably an average age of around like 65.
Nice.
So that's lovely, very social. And they had sort of... They had sold it to me as like, yeah, because you'll work 40 hours a week and then you can go to London on the weekend on the train. You can't, because there's no train station in Tame.
No.
So you have to get a coach to Oxford and then get a train to London. So you can't really do anything, because by the time you've spent half your day getting to the train, you're fucked. And they'd said, it's just bar work and it's 40 hours a week. It wasn't. I was like Cinderella. They had me in the kitchen. They had me cleaning. They had me behind the bar. Yeah. They had me doing everything, right? And that's all a bit...
Dental work?
No. I didn't do... No, I mean, maybe it would have paid better. And because you live there, you get like this horrible... Like the pub I was in was 700 years old. So it's like...
Always a selling it for a pub.
Yeah.
Really
like,
old.
Oh, it's haunted. Lovely. But so my room was like a little hovel and everything, and it was all a bit disgusting. And obviously, if you're like an attractive female and you work behind the bar, you get spoken to in a certain way. And I've been used to making quite a lot of money stripping and everything. And the only reason, like, I never had a problem with it. The only reason I stopped it was I thought I should get a like normal job.
Yeah.
And so then men were like, jugs. And I was like, oh. But you can't really tell someone to fuck off when you're working behind a bar. You can if you're in a strip club, or you can be like, that's £20, yeah, please. Yeah, yeah. But these guys were like, she want another one.
Oh.
So I stayed there and I'd worked there and I did my first week and I did 60 hours. And I'd been in the kitchen and I'd been doing the bar and I'd been cleaning and everything. And then they go to pay me at the end of this first week where I know I have worked for 60 hours. And because it's a live-in job, they can take a little bit of money off you under the guise of like, this is, well, we're paying for your accommodation. I think they were giving us like one meal a day. So I did this. So this is 11 years ago. I did this 60-hour week. And they handed me £180 in cash.
Wow, that's nice.
And I was a bit like, and because I was still quite new, I was trying to convert it in my head, being like, oh, maybe I don't understand like
money.
The conversion rate
that's
between
it,
the New Zealand dollar and the pound, because
maybe this is a thousand.
This is definitely not adding up to what it should be.
Yeah.
And then I figured it out and I was like, no, it is terrible. My bad. And I was like, well, I don't really, like, I'm going to have to figure this out and do something else because I'm not going to stay here. And obviously it was sort of negating the whole point of being in the UK as well, because I wasn't able to see anywhere.
Yeah.
So what was the point? And I'd sort of decided in the back of my mind, I'd go work in a strip club and I'd look for another real job while I did that. But I'd work in a strip club in London, so I was a bit more central. And then one night, a magical night, I'd finished in the pub and I had this little, like, tiny TV in my little hovel of a room and it had about, like, a handful of channels. And I was flicking through and it was about, like, 1 or 2 a.m. and there was Babe Station.
Hey!
There was Babe Station. And it's such a weird...
And then the light bulb just came on.
No. So it's such a weird concept because, like, it's quite a lot to see on free-to-air TV.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You don't think you're going to sort of scroll through and see it. But there's Babe Station. And then along the bottom of the screen is a little banner saying, do you think you could be a babe?
Oh, like, we sold you.
Do you know what? I reckon I could do that. And basically, they used to have a show called Babe Station Apprentice, which was for like brand new girls. So they had, back in when I started, there were three channels. There was Babe Station 1, which is the main Babe Station. There was Extra, and there was one called Babe Station Blue. And so Babe Station Blue didn't go on Freeview until midnight, and the other two went on earlier. And so during, I think it was Mondays and Tuesdays, so the quieter nights, on Babe Station Blue, they do this show called Babe Station Apprentice. And they'd have brand new girls that hadn't worked at other channels, and they'd put three girls on this one channel. And sometimes you'd all three be on the set at the same time. And sometimes it would be like one of you while the others had a break. And I think it was cheaper than the other channels to call Babe Station Blue to encourage people as well.
When you said Babe Station Apprentice, I was thinking of The Apprentice. I thought, oh my God, we had a channel that was like...
That would have been way
better. That would have been good. We should do that.
Yeah. But so they did this. And the idea was that you were meant to get three shifts.
Okay.
And if you sucked, you would not get any more from that point on. And if you were doing well, then eventually you'd get to go on the other channels.
And that was when I started.
You'd get a shift on a Thursday, and that's when you knew that you were really being, like, accepted by it all. And so, obviously, there's lots of girls and everything, but I did quite well because...
Do you remember other girls that were on The Apprentice when you started the same time?
So the only ones that really stuck around, so Danny Levy and I started at the same time. Maddie Rose was there at the same time. Penny Lee.
Oh, yeah.
And then a whole bunch of girls that have sort of never... gone off into the ether.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then obviously I did okay at it because you want to be, like, different. And I have an accent and that's different. So, and then I started getting normal Babe Station shifts. And then I was a bit like, well, maybe I don't need a normal job.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just stick this out for a little while.
Yeah.
And then I did, and I did for a little bit more. And then because I'd come over on a 2-year visa, and this is when I tell you I'm here illegally. I'm like, I've never got another one.
And I never renewed it, and then here I am.
No one's caught me.
8 years late, they haven't caught me.
No, so I'd come over on a 2-year visa, and my visa was going to run out, but my mum was born in the UK, and so they just give a passport to anyone that has a parent that's born here. So I was a bit like, well, I'll get a passport, because then I'll stay like another year or so.
Yeah.
And now I'm just here still.
Yeah.
Now I live here.
Okay.
This is my life.
It's just carried on.
Yeah, just never... Never went away.
And you do like, so you do like other stuff as well. You do OnlyFans.
Fingers and mini pies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cameo on Brazzers quite a lot.
I cameo on Brazzers an awful lot.
How did that come about?
Because
you're always the person who's in the
being
room.
Being cheated on, needs to shun out. He's always like meeting my mum and then fucking my mum instead, or like my sister.
He's not nice to you.
I don't know why I keep going back. It's really quite awful. No, it came about because I think there was a girl who worked, she didn't work on Babe Station, but she worked on Studio, Sophia, who at the time was organising a lot of that stuff. And she put a tweet up being like, oh, they needed someone to be an extra in wherever it was. And it was quite close to where I lived. I lived in East London at the time. And I was like, I did a lot of like acting and stage stuff and stuff growing up. So I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
I'll give that. And obviously they want to use people that are in the industry so they don't get weirdos. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I did that. And then because I turned up on time, they've never stopped using me. Yeah. Being reliable is like a real.
I'd love to be an extra on one of them.
You should. I'll get you in.
Could you actually get me in?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love that. I'll just do the shocked face.
My husband's been an extra in the background of one of them. Brilliant. His little claim to fame. Oh, yeah.
Just be an extra, shocked.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
That's the face you have to make when you see the big dick for the first time and everyone's like, oh, like, wow.
Mine will be real. A real reaction. Really? How? But yeah. So in terms of like, so both of you do OnlyFans now as well.
Yeah.
How much do you think that's affected things going forward? Doing like, do you think it's been positive impact on everything you do, camming wise and stuff like that, or do you think?
I think so. I mean, I think
because the customers go in and out of both.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think you bring customers from certain things, and then so because I'd done lots of like before OnlyFans was a thing, I was on lots of like videos for like JOI kind of videos and stuff like that. And so loads of people have found me on OnlyFans that have liked those videos who aren't necessarily like in the UK. And then some of them now will come on Babe Station because I'm on Babe Station all the time and they'll tip on Babe Station and that kind of thing.
It works hand in hand.
Yeah. So I think the two sort of connect into each other a lot.
Do you think it empowers the girl? Because obviously, how did the because people think the industry's changed since OnlyFans.
I think so.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think
because it's become more like, I don't know what, like, not that every girl has one, but it felt like during COVID everyone was doing an OnlyFans.
Yeah, 100%.
And it made it more like, not common, I don't know what the word is, but to be like acceptable to adult industry. Do you not think so?
You don't want that.
No,
you don't want, no, because like you make money because it's not acceptable.
Okay.
Once something is socially acceptable and everyone does it, then obviously the money has to be spread out more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So really, you want something to stay a bit more taboo, so there's like less people.
But I don't think people that wanted to sign up to OnlyFans when they first did it was like the like because you guys understand the industry in terms of you've done live camming before and you've worked with customers all the way through, and then OnlyFans sort of came along. Like, there's no way Susan up down the road, I don't know why she's Susan, but she was like, I can start an OnlyFans and just do it. It's like sold as a quick rich scheme.
Yeah.
And then they do it for they do it for 3 months and going, this is weird. This isn't what everyone told me to do.
Well, because everyone thinks they're just going to put pictures of their feet up and like, you know, just the money's going to rain on down.
It starts with feet. It never keeps to feet, does it?
I mean, that's always like been kind of a lie, like in the adult industry, possibly just at Babe Station.
cut this.
Girls are always going to say they're doing the minimum while making the maximum. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to get loads of girls that are like, I never show my pussy. And you're like, well, that's not what I heard. Yeah. But so there's always that. So I think OnlyFans suffers a lot in the same way, and that people are like, loads of girls have been like, oh, yeah, I just did a few TikToks. And now, like, God, it's raining in. But at the end of the day, that's not how, like, there's going to be a select few people that it works that way for, but I think for the majority of people it's a lot more graft, and especially if you don't already have like a following to begin with.
What were you gonna say, Poppy, before
I just personally think, like, since OnlyFans come about, men kind of expect more because there's so many girls on there who have just joined, like, made an account, and they're charging like $3 for really explicit stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't compete with that because I'm not comfortable charging, you know, like explicit boy girl scenes or like squirting videos, something like that, for $3.
Okay.
But it's like, because loads of other girls are doing it now, people won't like that. My sales have gone down because since like OnlyFans has been a massive thing. Like when it first came out, it was so, I found it's quite easy to make money from there.
Yeah.
But now like everyone's hopped onto it and they're just charging. I feel like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I feel like the standard's gone down.
It goes to what Beth said, when something's more used by everyone, it gets oversaturated, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I just think like it kind of annoys me sometimes because like, I know everyone's like, oh, they don't respect themselves and stuff. It's like, well, when they're charging like $3 for really explicit stuff, like, yeah, people are going to think that because that's just, for me, I would never charge that cheap for something that explicit. Like,
but I guess it's depending on their levels, isn't it? I mean, yeah, but do those people you're thinking of, are they completely new? Have you never heard of them before?
Well, yeah, I mean,
because it makes sense for like, I guess if you've done porn for a long while and then you do OnlyFans, like that sort of thing kind of makes sense. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about OnlyFans.
I just know like some girls who
scrolling
and signed up. Okay, so I've got some questions from people that wanted to ask you questions, which makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, Option One fans. Which is...
Do you have a big fan base?
Huh?
Do you have a big fan base?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Huge.
Good.
700 on Insta.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be 715 by the time this comes out. Follow me. Tell them to follow me.
What's your name? Why aren't you dropping your name into this?
Oh, Sam
Risley.
Sam Rise _ early, because no one knows how to pronounce my name, so I have to do it like that. I think even on YouTube it's spelled wrong.
Do you want to spell it now for us?
Yeah, R-I-S. Riseley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually think your work email might be. I'm not joking.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
No one knows how to spell my name for years. Well, to be fair, for 2 years, no one knew my name was Sam.
Chris.
Yeah, they thought I was Chris for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a problem with names. Hard to make an impression. Weird why I'm hosting this. Right. So, questions for fans. Okay. First one is, what is the strangest request you've ever received from a fan? Do you want to start, Poppy?
Oh, that was a really funny one, actually. I think I must have been about 19. I was on TV, and this guy rang me, and he was like, can you wear a bin bag? And I was like, why a bin bag? And, oh, it gets weirder.
Okay.
It gets weirder. And I was like, why a bin bag? Like, I was in some sexy lingerie. I was like...
But you're on TV at the time.
I was on TV, so I couldn't get a bin bag on me. So I was like, I can't do that. But he was like, oh, I love it. I'm wanking in a body bag right now. I just love, like, the material and being in a bag. And I was like, you're calling me in a body bag. And I was like, are you zipped up right now? And he was like, fully zipped up. I was like, so you can't see me? And he's like, no, I can't see you, but I just really want you to wear a body bag. I want to know that you're feeling what I'm feeling. And I was just like,
you just told him, yeah.
But then I was just thinking,
you can't see me.
Well, I was just thinking, like, where does one get a body bag from?
Well,
so I don't know
if you can just buy a body bag. I've never researched it.
Yeah, that just stuck with me because I've never had a request like that since.
No, that's a bizarre fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a very rare one.
Have you had body bags, Beth?
I've never had anyone asking me to be in a body bag or them being in a body bag. I've really missed out there. I had a guy that used to call up and he wanted to be run over by a car.
Wow.
And you had to, like, act it out on screen. Like, not in a morbid way. He's quite cheery about it.
Run me over.
Yeah.
But did he do this more than once? Or was this one?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So he,
oh, the run over guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll kill again.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm in my car.
So you're on TV. And so he wants you to, but it had to be a manual as well. You couldn't run him over in an automatic.
So because it's not a choice then. No.
So you had to be working the gears. And then as you, because he's watching you, and as you go over him, you had to be like, because you were going over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you had to reverse and be like,
Oh, okay.
But he never like died on the phone.
Oh, that's
good.
He
was just like enjoying being run over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Each their own.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. So glad someone asked that question. Got another one. If you were stranded on a desert island, which two items would you have with you? See, different type of questions. No, Beth, not a fan of this one. Do you want to start, Beth?
Just an airplane to leave.
Just an airplane to leave.
You've got to be practical.
I mean, not being practical with it, what two items would you have?
I mean, do I need these for survival or for my entertainment?
One for survival, one for entertainment.
Water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
If you were completely unrelated to this, yeah. I've been debating this for ages. If you were stuck on a desert island, right? So you know how alcohol dehydrates you.
Yeah.
If you're stuck on a desert island and you have no water, but you have a bottle of wine, would it make more sense to drink the bottle of wine like after a while because you've had no calories, even though it's going to dehydrate you, but it's going to be something? Or would it make sense to die with a full bottle of wine because that would have dehydrated you?
Well, either way, you're dying of dehydration.
Well, no, maybe like maybe that bottle of wine, if you drink it, is going to help you out a bit longer and someone's going to come
I would definitely
you.
Drink
yeah.
the
would
wine.
Would you? Yeah.
I'm drinking the wine. Yeah.
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 Just to, because if you didn't drink it for ages, that little bit of wine, because you've had no food or anything
that's
like that.
That's what I mean. Like, but...
Die happy.
Die drunk, yeah.
Oh, yeah, drunk, yeah.
Yeah. Because a little bit would then get you drunk.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what in this scenario, I would have a bottle of wine with me just so I could be puzzling over, like, what
over
to
that
do,
thing.
Because that would keep my mind busy while
what
I was stuck on
that?
The island. I don't know. I must have read something about, like, thinking about, like, how alcohol dehydrates you. And I was like, but it's calories. And if you need calories when you're, like, starving,
yeah.
What way would you go?
Dying of dehydration is apparently dying of, like, the biggest headache ever, isn't it? Because you get a headache. So it's like a headache that kills you. Well, I couldn't think of anything more stressful.
Yeah.
And it
sounds like a hangover.
Well, yeah, a hangover that kills you.
Ah, drink the wine then.
Yeah. But then you still die of a hangover that kills you.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's a win-win. Poppy, two items if you're on a desert island, what would you choose?
Probably my duvet, so I can get all snuggly.
That's true. It's cold at night.
Yeah, probably my
useless
duvet.
In the day, but yeah.
Yeah. And probably some chocolate cake. Like, I kid you not, I am addicted. I would just die without chocolate cake. Is that simple?
That's true.
So
chocolate cake in the heat, though.
Put it in the shade.
Yeah, that's true.
Put it under the duvet during the day.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Down.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Another question. What's the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you during a live stream? Let's say it like that. Has anything embarrassing happened to you during a live stream? Or like shooting content or anything like that?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think. Oh, we got locked in once. Like, it wasn't embarrassing, but the potential was there. So I was shooting a scene for Babe Station years and years ago. It was meant to be me and this other girl, and her car had broken down. And I was on a walk in the countryside and she's waiting for the AA. And while she's waiting for the AA, I'm going to turn up and we're going to have sex in the car because, you know, life.
Yeah.
That's how these things work. And so they needed a little bit of countryside to film this in because it needed to look like it was just fields. And basically we go and we met here and they were like, we'll just drive round till we find somewhere, which... I mean, maybe budgetary constraints that they didn't want to get somewhere to park a car. I don't know. But so they're like, we'll just drive around till we find somewhere. Like, okay. And so he drives around and he drives down this like gravelly dirt road and everything. And there's no houses. It is just fields. And
who are you with?
Tasha. Tasha Holmes. Yeah. Me and her. And so we're filming this scene. And at one point someone walks through this field and comes quite close, and that's a bit awkward, but doesn't see anything because he sees him coming from a distance and everything.
Walking
like
his dog.
Yeah, just a man out for a stroll, I guess. And so we do the scene, and it's summer, so the weather's nice and everything, and it takes a couple of hours, and it gets filmed. And then we go to leave, and we go to drive out the way we've come, and then all of a sudden there's a gate, and someone has padlocked it, so now we can't get out because clearly we have driven onto private property.
That's what the person walking was.
Probably. So we can see houses by this gate. And so the three of us in this car are like, do we go and ask someone in the house? But then we have to confront them. And that's going to be awkward. So instead, he called someone to come with bolt cutters and cut our way out and drove off. Yeah.
Poppy, anything embarrassing happened to you on live streams or content-wise?
The only thing I can think of is this. I think this happened not that long ago, actually. I was doing the TV section and I actually fell off the... was he Ewan or was it Clint?
I don't remember that.
It was really embarrassing.
I would have brought that up otherwise.
Because I was covered in oil.
What set did you fall off?
It was the... Oh, I always get them mixed up. I should know it by now.
Is it a study one or the garage or the sauna?
The blue one.
Oh, the blue one, the officey one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did like my tip goal on TV and it was oil. And I don't know what the hell I did, but I just slid off the whole thing. It ended up on the floor.
Oh.
And I was just live on TV.
A lot of people have fallen off TV. That's okay. That's not too bad.
Oh, okay. Makes it a bit better.
Yeah. At the time, you were probably the only person that night to fall off TV. But loads of girls have... I remember when... there's a guy that used to work here. I've spoken to him like twice now, Chris. And we used to do POV, but we used to do them on the set. He was standing on that desk and it was with Katie Cole. And do you remember this?
No.
And I think they got on, but they weren't like best mates. And he was standing on the thing and it literally fell, like the whole thing. And he was standing on top of it over her and it fell and it broke. And she just slid down. And he was just filming his feet while he was still there. And he was just like, Clint, table's broke. And he's just carrying on filming her while the table's broke. And she was on the floor just going, stop filming me, take me up.
Oh my God.
The most embarrassing thing happened to me was 3 months ago when I had a tech problem and I fixed it. And I jumped up in the doorway.
Oh.
And I hit my head. Apparently I was concussed. And the only reason I remember this is because I started, Beth just walked in and I spoke to Beth and I think I said something on the lines of, garage 5 minutes, you are set. I started talking like Yoda.
Oh my God.
And normally Beth is sort of like, you know, you're chill, you get on with stuff and things like that. But even Beth was like, are you okay? I think you're broken. Yeah. Carried on the whole shift. Proud of that. Have you ever had an awkward encounter with a fan in public? Yes.
Awkward in my mind.
Yeah, it could be awkward in your mind.
So I was going into London and I was... So I have two, actually.
How long were you working for Babe Station?
Oh, it would have been a good, like, 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
So I was quite, like, established.
Yeah.
So I'm going to London in the middle of the day, I think, for something. And when I get on the tube, so I live quite a way out, so I'd got on like right on the outskirts. When I got on the tube, it's quite empty.
Okay.
And I've sat my handbag next to me on a seat because there are ample seats.
Yeah.
This is fine. Then we're getting closer and closer to London and I've got headphones on and I'm playing on my phone because no one wants to make eye contact because yuck. Like,
yeah.
And so...
Hate eye contact.
I do. I might be autistic.
That's why I work behind a screen.
So I head down, and every time the tube stops, I sense that people are getting on, but there's still a few seats. And then it's getting to the point that it is getting not full, but maybe I should move my bag. And this guy gets on, and I go to put my hand on my bag. And at the same time, I look up. And it's like this youngish black guy. And I'm like, now I look like I think that you're going to steal my bag. Do you know what I mean? So I'm overcome with this wave. Wave of like, I'm not a racist. I was trying to clear a seat. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Now I have to move
now
my bag.
Now I leave
bag.
The bag there?
Yeah, or? I know, because there are still seats, but now my hand's on
Where
my bag.
Where are the morals?
So now I move my bag and I put it on the floor and he sits down next to me and he motions for me to take my headphones off and I'm like, inside I'm dying because I'm like, oh God, he's going to be like, so you thought I was going to steal your bag?
Oh, yeah.
And I take my headphones off, he's like, you're Beth, innit? Like, Oh, thank God for that. I'm so glad you're just a wanker instead. And then we spend like a really interesting conversation because some people are like, sometimes when people are like I don't endorse, like, if you're going to meet one of us in public, don't be like, I love jerking off over you, because it's a weird thing to have a stranger say to you.
Yeah.
But you could tell it was kind of just how he spoke, and there was something, so he's like, oh, I love wanking over you. And I was like, oh, cool. And we're like sitting there. And
he's
like, I'm stuck on the tube, so I have to keep talking to him. And he's like, oh, so do you have a man? I'm like, no, I'm married, so sorry. And he's like, oh, does your husband like to share? And I was like, no, no. And then we have to continue this conversation because I still have to get where I'm going.
Bennett, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's been a big fan for ages.
I'm going in London. So we had to talk for like a good 15 minutes and then I had to get off. But like at the end of it, I'm pretty sure he was positive that I'm not a racist, which I'm not. So like that was...
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. He got a cool story out of it.
That's true. Like, did he call afterwards or cam afterwards?
He followed me on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was nice. There was that one, and then there was my other
tweet back fan.
Yeah. My other awkward encounter was I used to go to this gym that was in like a shop. I don't live there now, so I can say it.
Always at a gym.
I can say it. Westfield. I used to go to a gym at a Westfield, and I'd walk there, and I'd have to walk there, and I'd walk there in the morning, and I was walking there one time, and then again with headphones on and head down because maybe I am a bit socially like damaged. And this man,
you just don't like people, this, which is fine.
Yeah. Well, I talk jobbing, to them. My talking, social battery is just used up being here, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You talk to people for 8 hours.
Yeah. So rest of your life. That's my quota, isn't it? It's done.
No point talking.
This man comes up to me, and again, I have headphones on, so I think, oh, how rude, because they're the it's sign a clear of don't talk.
I do
to me.
Hate that when you have headphones on and people try and talk to you.
But he comes up and he's like, do you have any change? And I was like, no, like, because who does have change anymore? Yeah. And also I'm going to the gym, so I'm in like leggings. I blatantly don't. I know I don't have change. And then he's like, I know you.
Oh.
And I was like, do you? Like,
Do you assume Babe Station fan when he says that? Or do you think he might know you from somewhere?
I really didn't know because like, this whole circumstance was so bizarre. And then he was like, yeah, you're on the TV. And I was like, oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
That's right.
Am I in public looking around?
We're very public. And he was like, your name's Beth. And I was like, mm-hmm. I still don't have any change. And he was like, oh, it's really nice to meet you. And he was very friendly, like a really nice man. And then basically I carried on my way and I went to the gym. But then every morning after that I would see him, he would loudly from across the walkway, Beth!
Oh, Beth! Super fan. Oh,
yeah.
Beth, it's me.
It's me. It's me, your fan. Do you have any change? Yeah.
no change again. No, sorry, no change again.
But yeah, those are my two awkward. Nice. Yeah.
Poppy, have you ever had any awkward encounters?
Not really. The only time I've ever met people that have called me and stuff is my first year of doing TV. I went to go to strip club
okay.
To like a Christmas kind of, because it's normally really busy at Christmas.
Yeah.
So I was thought, you know, we'll go on Christmas Eve. And I didn't realise, but like loads of people that had me like on OnlyFans and they were like calling me on TV, they came to see me. And no, none of them told me though. And they were like, hello, is this me? I was like, who? Sorry?
Oh,
who
are hi.
You? And they were like, it's me. And then they were saying their names and I was like,
okay.
I don't know.
It's hard to know how to react. So if you go out like in public and stuff, do you tell people that you work at Babe Station or do you just keep it to yourself? Like when people, like, you know, when you're in social gatherings or something like that, say you've gone out for drinks and stuff like that.
If it's a young group of people, like friendly young
people. Because people are going to go, oh, so what do you do?
Yeah, but if it's like professional people, like when I've moved house and stuff, they've always asked like, oh, so what's your career? And I'm just like, oh, I'm just a model. Like I won't go into detail because that's, you know, normally the old generation, they will judge or they'll instantly think like that I'm a not very nice person.
Yeah.
So I just, yeah, it depends on the crowd.
Yeah. I when I first started Babe Station, I told my mates at Audiences, told everyone that I work at Babe Station because they thought it was funny. Not to only see their reaction, but my reaction as well.
Yeah.
But now it's gone on, like, because I'm bored of not Babe Station. I'm not bored of Babe Station.
But I'm bored of like segue out into podcasting.
Well, yeah,
it's obvious.
Please let me do this. Yeah, I kind of like just can't be asked to tell that story because I feel like I've heard every reaction.
Yeah,
that you can get, like positive, negative, and there's no. It just ends the same way, and it's such a weird conversation. And it's just like, yeah. I tell them like what it's like, and they're just looking at me like that.
What's the worst reaction you've had?
I've had a girl say, I've had a girl angrily shout at me as if like I'm making girls do it.
Like you're our pimp.
Yeah. It's like, you can't make women do that. And it's like, I'm not making anyone do it. I just like, work here.
Come and watch it and see how they talk to me.
Like, they make me do stuff.
My favourite Babe Station like memory is I used to have this caller called Andy. And Andy started calling me. This was, it had to be like seven or so years ago. Andy started calling and he had broken up. He'd got married reasonably young. So he got divorced and I think he was in like his early 30s or whatever. And Andy broke up with her and then found Babe Station, saw me at some point and became very, very infatuated with me. And he was a really nice guy. And he wasn't so much like he'd call and talk dirty sometimes, and then sometimes he'd just call during daytime shows for a chit chat and everything like that. And we had quite a little rapport and friendship and everything. And this went on for a while, and then he told me about how he was trying out online dating, and I was like, "Oh, go for it, go on, Andy."
Yes.
And he tried it out, and he started dating this woman, and you could see his heart wasn't really in it with her, but she was like the first one he'd like gone on more than a couple of dates with and everything like that. And I was like, oh, okay. And it didn't sound like it was the best. And then I started dating my husband, and Andy was a bit like, I don't think Andy had ever thought we were going to be a couple, but I think it was a bit of a reality that, like, you know, life exists outside it. And he was like, oh, okay. But he was still a fan. He'd still call and everything like that. Mm. And then he dumped this one because he realised it wasn't going anywhere. And then we stayed friendly and everything, and he'd webcam and he'd do all this and that, and he'd send me pictures of dogs because I really like dogs. And then one day Andy was like, I've started seeing this other woman, and she sounded much better from what I knew about Andy.
Yeah.
She sounded like they had a lot more interests in common, and it wasn't like he was dating her for the sake of dating her, but dating her because he liked her and everything, and it was going well. And then he was like, one day he was like, oh, just so you know, I'm gonna delete my Twitter in a month because we're getting quite serious and I've realised I don't need it anymore. And I was like, oh, we don't. Do you know what I mean? Because like it wasn't like sometimes it's just, I think, maybe a stopgap for people. Like,
you've just proven it there with that story.
So, and now he's like, I believe they got engaged.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah, and you encouraged it.
Yeah.
Go on, Andy.
Yeah, exactly, because, I mean, there definitely are, you know, when people sort of create a false relationship and false promises, that I think is taking this a step too far. And I completely understand if people criticise that, because that is like taking advantage of someone. If you're promising them something that's never going to happen and you're like, yeah, you know, just cam a few more times and then we'll definitely meet each other. Like that's, you're a bit of a bitch if you're doing that.
Mm.
But people that are just like encouraging people to have fun. And then, you know, as long as people have a basis in reality and where things are going.
But then you can't control who calls you up or who cams with you.
No, but you can be bluntly honest.
Yes.
So I'm married and I've never chosen to hide the fact that I'm married, because I think people should have a like grasp on, like, this is just
a
good time, and it is just like you know this might be your 20-minute phone call, but at the end of the day, don't get too like involved in
it. Did you have fans pull away from you?
I had one fan that got very angry because he had perhaps, despite my really hammering at home, he genuinely thought we were going to be dating at some point,
and
he got very hurt. But I have lovely fans who are very, like, accepting of it. Because, I mean, in reality, a lot of our fans are married.
Yes.
So they don't see it as, like, anything wrong on their side. So why would it be something wrong on my side? No, I have really nice fans. Sometimes they send my husband presents.
Oh, that's nice.
Someone got us a night in the Shard for our wedding anniversary.
No way. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is sick. Oh.
Yeah.
I want some presents.
I've always tried getting them to send Mr. P presents, but hasn't worked.
No.
No.
What's what's the best present you got, Poppy, from fans? Have you got good presents for fans?
I haven't really received any. I've got one guy that will buy me things, which is nice. But other than that, I mean, during the pandemic, I had a few people send me like some lingerie and stuff. But other than that, no.
No? Not get like, what is it? I said this story. When Laurie Buckby gets Weetabix like once every 2 weeks from a fan called John for like 4 years. Have you ever had that sort of fan? Have you had that sort of fan?
Not Weetabix, no. I used to have this man, Malcolm, who would send me like pirated DVDs.
Nice.
But they would come in like massive, like 50 at a time, like these.
We still get DVDs.
Yeah.
Is that him?
I don't think so, because he'd send pirated DVDs and like out of date magazines. And like they'd always come in a big box and there'd usually be like some cuddly toy in there as well. It was always a really eclectic selection of just stuff. But yeah, I had tons of DVDs and no DVD player.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, right. We're going to do some tweets now. And the first one is going to be just to line up, best tweet.
Okay.
You tweeted the other day. So Poppy, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Would you rather have spaghetti for hair or sweat mayonnaise? Please explain your answer. And I'm going to answer this question as well, and Alan, you can answer it.
What? So spaghetti hair or...
Sweat mayonnaise. Sweat mayonnaise.
What's that? Sorry.
A mayonnaise, like the food, like to sweat it.
Oh.
I think I'd rather have spaghetti for hair.
That's what everyone said.
I would have the mayo.
Really? Sweat mayonnaise?
Yeah, but then... How often do you sweat?
Well... Right now, actually.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, if you get a bit hungry, get some chips or some cheese.
No,
like
your own sweat.
Disgusting. Stick it in. Lovely.
Chip. Sorted.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
But you got spaghetti every time you go for a haircut.
Does it grow back, though?
Does it grow back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you eat it?
Yeah.
I love a spag bol. I'm sold.
The thing is, though, spaghetti with hair, you're right, because people would notice that straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd look like a crazy person.
And you'd have to explain it all the time.
Oh, I've got spaghetti for hair.
Always be in cold places and try not to sweat.
I haven't got much hair. I'm okay. Yes.
No, it's all hair. It's body hair as well.
Ooh, yeah. that's a game changer.
Spaghetti down there?
Yeah. That's a game changer.
Yeah, but then I suppose if you went down on someone, get a bit hungry, nom nom.
I sweat down there though as well, so the mayonnaise won't work that well either. That's it.
Lovely.
I changed my answer. Mayo.
What, sweat mayonnaise?
Yeah.
But think about all the places you sweat.
How often do you sweat?
You sweat. Everyone sweats quite a bit.
To be fair though, Sam does.
All right.
It's not really, you think...
Sweaty crack, mayonnaise down there.
Yeah, but you think of the amount that you sweat, it doesn't, like, drip out of you. You'd have, like, a glistening of mayonnaise, wouldn't you?
But you'd always smell of mayonnaise.
That's not a bad smell.
It smells nice.
What is spaghetti... Is it... Yeah, just... But spaghetti doesn't really smell, and it's kind of...
No, but it's like, what could you do with spaghetti here? Because presumably in this scenario, it is wet spaghetti. You couldn't tie it up because it would break. So you're constantly sloshing
you just
about.
You just go bald, wouldn't you, and just have constant spaghetti.
Oh, I'd rather just glisten with mayonnaise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good question.
It is a good question.
It is a good question. Did a lot of fans reply?
I did have quite a few, but it was overwhelmingly spaghetti for here.
Really?
Mm. No. Atlanta said she would sweat mayonnaise and then bottle it and sell it.
That's clever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could do that with spaghetti as well.
It's not the same though, is it? Because what are they going to do? Just...
Very true. Okay, next one is from Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner? Kardashians?
Oh, okay.
The mum from the Kardashians. Oh, okay. You know about the Kardashians?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. She tweeted, she actually tweeted this. I just sharted myself. That's when you fart and you shit yourself on accident. That's what she's decided to tweet. One, why would you tweet that? And would you ever tweet that? Also, has anyone ever sharted themselves before? Question for you guys.
I actually haven't. I'm not even just saying that.
No? You didn't expect to be asked that question today, did you, Beth?
No.
Have you ever sharted yourself?
No, I can't say that I have. Nor would I tweet that if I had.
Kris Jenner did.
Yeah.
But then it's Kris Jenner, isn't it?
She can do what she wants.
Yeah.
Even shart, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Sharting is when you fart and skid marks. Just okay. To explain sharting.
Have
you?
I thought that was a man thing.
Many drunk times. Shat myself when I'm drunk before. Anyway, different story. Piss, shat. I've done it all. It's when you get so drunk that you can't even see. Have you ever got that drunk before?
No.
Probably. Have you ever drunk that you can't remember anything, you can't even see? No?
No.
Oh, no. I went to Vegas and I went to a pool party.
This better be a sharting story.
No, it's not. I went to Vegas and I went to a pool party and you have to buy like a bottle, and I don't really drink a lot. So you have to drink hard liquor, and obviously it's hot as hell because it's Las Vegas. And I got very, very drunk, and at one point I was trying to walk to the bathroom and I had my husband's like flip-flops on because I'd worn like wedge sandals and I just didn't have the mobility for that anymore. So and he's a lot bigger than me, so his shoes are like flippers. So I'm flip-flopping my way to the bathroom, and the security guard is like, "Are you all right? You're not walking very well." And to be fair, I was probably too drunk, but I was like, no, it's just my giant clown shoes. It's fine. I'm fine. And he was like, that's fine then. And then time went on and I got so drunk, I was sick and I had to leave. But then he messaged me on Instagram and was like, I saw you in a presence video and you're the girl that had to leave because you were so sick. And I was like, oh. So that's why I don't drink.
Damn you, Brazzers. Most people must know you from the jerk mate thing.
Oh.
How many times did you get that?
So, like, lots of people. Like, so lots
don't
of people
watch porn now because of you. Every time I'm like, oh, fucking Beth from work has thrown me right off.
Yeah, that's what my brother-in-laws have said as well, because obviously, what a ruiner if you're trying to have a wank and then, like, there she is. And you're like, oh.
Oh, is that the, I think I've seen it. It was like, I got to pick what you were going to do or something. I was like,
Poppy did it.
I did.
Signed up.
I thought,
what can I do to Beth?
I actually really enjoyed it. Thanks for that.
How many people talk to you about that?
Lots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You must get that on call. Because that's a mad advert that comes up.
Yeah, it pops up everywhere.
Yeah, I can't even watch stuff anymore. Oh, fucking Beth again.
It ruins it for my husband. He's trying to wank over someone else. He's told me many times, like, you're on the ad.
Oh, you're on the ad again.
Sorry.
Beth, best trending on, there's a Brazzers shoot that's like, I don't know, what's the episode?
So it's called, I believe it's called We Need Cum Stat.
Yeah.
And basically the scene is Danny D and Bonnie Rotten, and she has turned, and I'm a nurse, and she has turned up in an emergency room and she needs cum to live.
Hey! Yeah.
She needs cum to live.
She needs cum to live.
And it's very soap opera, and she's come in and she's on a gurney. Oh, God, I need cum to live. And I'm, as the nurse, telling Danny she needs cum to live, and then shockingly turn to the cum cupboard.
Yeah.
We're out of cum, aren't we? Oh, one of those. I'm like, oh, we're out of cum. And he's like, well, I'm going to have to administer it from source. And I'm like, yeah, you are. And then he gets his dick out and I'm like, no, it has to be anally.
Yeah.
But basically.
So
he writes his stuff.
This is someone's actual job. So I've been in so many of these, right, that one of the like script writers has like added me on Twitter and was like, oh, I love seeing you in my scenes. I'm like, that's your job. Like, you sit down. Like,
can I have that job?
I'd love that job. I think I could write a great scene. Yeah.
Can we do...
We should write a porno.
That's it.
Yeah.
Based on a podcast.
Yeah.
They haven't done a podcast one.
Cool, that's what the next episode is.
Podcock.
That's it. One option. Make it say option one, but need the promo, you know what I mean? But I came to you and I said about because you didn't know that it had gone viral on TikTok. And then I was scrolling through TikTok and I was like, there's some person using Beth's voice. I'm pretty sure that's Beth. And I clicked on the, because you can click on the sound and it's like, he needs come to live. And it's just like, Beth.
And she's been dry for days.
And she's been dry for days.
Is it still on there?
It's still on TikTok. If you go on TikTok, no, like hundreds of people have done it.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would you type in to find it then?
She needs come to live.
Yeah.
Or Beth Bennett. Because you're not even on TikTok, are you? No. So, I mean,
I have to capitalise on that.
Yeah. I mean, if people could send in their best come to live.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. And put it on Twitter.
Recreate it.
That's it. And then we can give something to the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come.
To live.
from our cum cupboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got one here.
Oh, is it? What's Mr. P. this thing?
And she's been dry for days.
There we go.
I wouldn't have like thought that was Beth's voice though.
I did recognise it straight away. I was like, that sounds like Beth.
It sounds like something from Bridgerton.
She's come to live. You've been dry for days.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Lovely.
That's good for TikTok, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're welcome, Ollie. Yeah. Well, thank you for watching the Option One podcast with Beth and Poppy. Beth, if you could tell them all to subscribe, that would be fantastic.
Where do they subscribe?
On YouTube. They can go on Spotify to listen.
I listen on Spotify.
Do you?
Yeah, it comes up. You know how you have like the six things on Spotify? It comes up on one of my
Yeah. I'm
like, oh.
So you're a pro Spotify listener?
Yeah.
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 But you can watch on YouTube as well.
No, I like to listen while I drive.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. And Apple Music as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you could subscribe, Poppy. You subscribe to it? You got YouTube? YouTube?
No, I will do.
Yeah. Half our guests don't subscribe. And you can comment, like, how many likes do you want on this video? How many likes would make you happy on this video?
10?
10 likes? That's easy. I think we can achieve that. 10 likes for Poppy.
Maybe a couple of thousand.
A thousand is like one we haven't reached yet. If we get 1,000 likes.
I'd say we should aim for 1,000.
A thousand.
We'll do it.
1,000 likes, yeah?
1,001.
1,001 likes for Beth and Poppy. Thank you. And yeah, we're out.
You're through to Option One.
Option One podcast.